The Gemara was discussing this whole time, if somebody eats truma, if that's a proof that they're a legitimate Kohen, or if somebody does Birchas Kohenim, that the Gemara is in the middle of discussing now, if he's a legitimate Kohen, or the Gemara's question was, if somebody eats truma, gets aliyah, from an aliyah, all these things, the question is, are these invalid enough proof that a guy's a legitimate Kohen, that he could work on a Beis HaMikdash and all that?
But would these people know?
No, the question is, we don't know.
So the question, who knows? Mashiach.
No, the Beis HaMikdash dealt with this. Okay, Amalei Rav Nachum Bei Yitzchak Lo Rav. So Rav Nachum Bei Yitzchak said to Rav like this. This was just discussed in the Gemara before that. Ma'al Lahalas Nesiyas Kapayim Liyochsin. A person, because he does Nesiyas Kapayim, he does Birchas Kohenim Yiduchins, is that enough of a proof that we can elevate him to a proper Kohen? Amalei, so he said, we just learned. Plukta Rav Chista v'Rav Avina. There's an argument between Rav Chista and Rav Avina. One says yes, one says no. So he says, okay, I know that. Hilcha Samai, what's the halacha? If a guy, a Kohen, doesn't see a Kapayim, is that enough of a proof that the guy's actually a Kohen or not? Amalei, so he answered him like this. I know that this is a Braisa. In a Braisa, we can figure out the answer. What's the story? The Tanya says in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Yemer, G'dayla Chazaka. Chazaka is very powerful, meaning somebody that had a Chazaka being a certain type of a person, it is a very powerful proof that that's what the person is. And he gives what this is talking about. Shinamer says like this, U'mibnei HaKayanim, from the children of the Kayanim, were the children Chavya, Bnei HaKayitz, Bnei Barzili, all these people, Ashelokach mebreiz barzili agiladi isha, that these people, the children of these Kohanim, took children of Barzili from the daughter of, each one took a daughter from Barzili, vayikral shmam, and they became known by their name, and it says like this, Elu bikshu ksava mamisyachsim, they each wanted, Ezra said, Nehemiah and Ezra said to them, this was at the time when the Jews were going back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So they were in Bavel. They're at the end of the 7-year exile. Many of them married questionable women if they were Jewish and not Jewish, proper for Kohenim, not proper for Kohenim. So he says like this, Bikshuk Savam, each one looked for the lineage papers. V'leinimtzu, they couldn't find them. V'yegayelu min HaKohuna, and they were disqualified from being in the kohuna. In other words, they couldn't prove that they had proper lineage of being kohanim, and Ezra and Nehemiah disqualified them from being kohanim. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, "Vayomer Tarshalahem," the Tarsha, who was Mefarshim say was Nehemiah, said to them, "Ad asher lo yochlu mikedesh hakadoshim," they're not allowed to eat from karbonis. Ad amid a Kohen le'orim v'tumim, until the Kohenim from the Orim v'tumim would figure out if they're legitimate Kohenim or not. Okay? So the question is like this. He warned them not to eat kachim, meaning karbonis, they couldn't eat. So it says, so Rabbi Yosi explains what happens like this. Amar lehem, harei atem b'cheskaschem, you have the chazaka, b'ma'ayisim eichum b'geilo. Whatever you ate in Bavel, you're allowed to eat now that you came back to Eretz Yisrael. What did they eat in Bavel? It says, Bekotchi Gvul, they ate Truma. Kotchi Gvul means Truma. Avkam Bekotchi Gvul. So he said like this. What Ezra said to these Kohanim is, because we don't know what your lineage is, we're going to keep you what you were until now. Until now in Bavel, you ate Truma, so you can eat Truma now. But Karbanis, which is a higher category of being a Kohen, that you can't eat. Okay? So now the Gemara says like that. This is what the Braisa says.
And there was only 40,000 people that came back with
yeah, but a lot of Kohenim were questionable if they were Kohenim or not. That's the question over here.
Did they know they were calling them in the
yeah, but he said we don't, they said go find the papers of your lineage in the family. They couldn't find it. So he said, okay, what you did until now, you can continue doing. But to do new things of eating karbanis that they didn't eat because in Bavel there were no karbanis.
If you came back with Ezra, or Ezra, whatever his name was, right, in yeah. Those days, and then somehow you survived all these years and as a Kohen, even today you might not be a Kohen.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, 2,000 years later.
Correct. It's going to be a big problem. Mashiach comes, they're going to figure out who's going.
Well, he's going to go by each one. Your Cohen, your Levi, your
Levi. He's going to say what everybody is.
He's going to tell you what tribe you're from.
Yep. So he says like this. The Isalka Daitoch. Mailem Minasias Kapayim Leyuchsin. And if you're going to say that from Berchas Kohenim, he becomes a full-fledged Kuna, he says, the problem's over here. What did Ezra tell these people? Truma you could eat, but not Korbanis. So Gemara says, if Berchas Kohenim is a proof that you're a full-fledged Kohenim, these guys were doing Berchas Kohenim in Bavel. And he said, "V'isal k'daytoch milem in the seas kapayim liyuchsin." If you're going to say that the halacha is from the sea, but the fact that they did berachos koyanim, they could become a full fledged koyan. So there's a problem over here. Hanikiv and the parsiya dayu, because these guys are going to be duchening in Eretz Yisrael, and people are going to see him be doing berachos koyanim. What are they going to do? Also, lasukune, they're going to elevate them to full fledged koyanim. So the problem over here is, this seems to prove that just because a Kohen duchened, or does Berchas Kohenim, is not enough of a proof that the lineage makes him a full-fledged Kohen. Because if it does, but the Gemara's question was, does it? So then, why did Ezra tell these people not to eat Korbanos? They're going to end up eating Korbanos anyway, because they did Nesias Kapayim, they did Berchas Kohenim in Bavel, and they're going to do it again here. So he says, no, here is different. Normally, maybe, from the fact that somebody does Birchas Kohenim, he does become a full-fledged Kohen. But over here was different. Why? Shani Hocha, the Reich Haskayu. The Chazaka was flawed. Meaning like this. Because everybody knows that they couldn't find their papers. If everybody knew they couldn't find the papers, their Chazaka became questionable. And it was known that they were questionable. In other words, nowadays the Gemara says, well, at least in those days, that the fact that somebody did Berchas Kohenim shows he's an authentic Kohen. But over there, it's not going to show it. Why? Because Dreya Chazkayu, the Chazaka, was weakened, because everybody knows that they couldn't find the papers. And he says even more, the Eloi Teimaochi, if you're not going to say that their status of a Kohenim was questionable, Leman the Yomar, Mailin Mitruma Liuchsin, according to the opinion that we learned before in the Gemara, that from a Kohen who eats Truma, they can work in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, it's another problem over here. Kivin the Achle Betruma, the fact that these Kohenim were allowed to eat Truma, Ezra said, you ate Truma in Bavel, you can eat Truma in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if from Truma, it makes you a full-fledged Kohen, so then everybody's gonna see these people eating Truma. They're going to say, then they're full-fledged Kohenim. So why? What's the issue? El, we must say, La Mishum Dereach Haskayu, because their Chazaka was questionable, and therefore the Gemara says like this. Even according to the opinion that says Truma allows you to work in the Beis HaMikdash, here it wouldn't, because everybody knows these Kohenim were flawed. Therefore, the same thing, the fact that these Kohenim did Birchas Kohenim, shows it's not going to be enough of a proof. It's not going to be enough of a proof for them to eat Korbanos and everything, because everybody knows that they were flawed. So the Gemara says, so if so, my G'dayla Chazaka, why does Rabbi Yossi start off by saying that a Chazaka is very, very strong? What's the power of Chazaka? He says, the Gemara answers like this, Mi Kore, because in Bavel, they only ate Truma Drabonin. The only ate rabbinic truma. Because in Bavel, real biblical truma is only in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, there was rabbinic truma. So what Ezra told them, and this is what Rabbi Yossi says, look how powerful the Chazak is. Because they ate rabbinic truma in Bavel, they were allowed to eat biblical truma in Israel. It shows the power of a Chazakah. That until now they only ate rabbinic truma, and now they're able to eat biblical truma. Or another answer is like this. V'boi seymar, else you could say a different answer. That hashta nami, even when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, they only ate rabbinic truma, not biblical truma. And truma, they didn't eat biblical truma. And the Gemara says like this, the opinion that said before, that if you eat truma, it's a proof that you're a legitimate kayin, that's only if you eat biblical truma. But they only ate rabbinic truma. And therefore rabbinic truma was not enough of a proof that they can eat biblical truma. And he says, v'chi maskinen, and when do you elevate somebody from truma liyuchsin, from truma to be able to be a full-fledged kohen? That's only truma de'eraisi, biblical truma. But truma de'rabanan, which was all they ate in Bavel, and that's what they were allowed to eat when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, lei maskinen, we don't allow them to become a full-fledged kohen.
But how many of those Kohanim became full-fledged in Israel when they came? 40,000. 40,000 maybe came back with Ezra.
Only...
How many do you think Kohanim came back?
Only the Kohanim that had legitimate proof that they were Kohanim.
There were 10 of them. You don't know that. No one knows that.
Whoever did, doesn't say how many there were. Whoever, like it says, they took these non-Jewish girls, okay, and because of that... He says, many during the Golus married women, non-Jewish women. In fact, the Pasuk says when Ezra took the Jews back to Israel, Ezra told them, get rid of your shiksas.
Yeah.
A lot of them did, a lot of them didn't. So the Gemara says, the fact that there were Kohanim who married shiksas, that questioned their being a kohuna, a Kohen. Right? So the Gemara says, so Ezra said to them, listen, go find the papers. Mm-hmm. Get proof that you're a full-fledged Kohen. They couldn't prove it. So Ezra said, okay, you know what we're going to do? The truma you ate in Bavel, you're going to be able to eat in Eretz Yisrael. So first the Gemara went out, said the Gemara was even biblical truma they're allowed to eat. And then it says only rabbinic truma they're allowed to eat. So the question is, what does it mean, G'dorla Chazaka? What does it mean, Chafei? You have it?
Chafei.
Yeah. Like 8 lines on the top of the page. Ve'elamai g'dayla chazaka, what is the great power of chazaka? It means, it says, the af agav, this is the thing. The ikalem megzeh, you should not allow them to eat rabbinic truma. Because they might come to eat biblical truma that they're not allowed to eat. Le'gazrinen, we didn't, Ezra did not, or Nehemiah did not make a decree against the people of that time. Meaning like this. Ezra, or Nehemiah, is really the Nehemiah, not Ezra. Nehemiah said to the Jews there, the Kohanim, okay, you ate rabbinic truma, you come to Israel, you could also eat rabbinic truma. So the Gemara says, what is the power of this chazaka? He said, because we would think they shouldn't be allowed to eat rabbinic truma in Israel. Why? Because if they eat rabbinic truma, people are going to give them biblical truma, which was not allowed, because they were only questionable Kohanim. So they can only eat rabbinic truma, not biblical truma. So I would think, let them not eat rabbinic truma, because then they will come to eat biblical truma. So the Gemara says, this is the power of chazaka. Chazaka was so powerful that we allow them to eat rabbinic truma, and we're not afraid that they will come to eat biblical truma. That's what he says. So the Gemara asks like this. So now the Gemara is saying that when the Jews went back to Bavel, Nehemiah said you can only eat rabbinic truma, not biblical truma. So the Gemara asks, "Uvetruma that Isaloyachol? They didn't eat biblical truma. It can't be." Vaksiv, it says in the pasuk, "Ashaloyachol mikedesh hakadoshim." They cannot eat the holy of holies, meaning sacrifices. Which implies, but they were able to eat truma. What did he tell them you can't eat? Korbanis, he can't eat. Which means, truma, which is not as holy as sacrifices, they could eat. So how could you tell me that in Eretz Yisrael they didn't allow them to eat biblical truma, when the pasuk clearly says they couldn't eat sacrifices, which implies truma they were able to eat? So the Gemara says like this, Hachi Kama, this is what it means. What is Kodesh Kedoshim So normally Kedush Kedusha means sacrifices. Right, the guys are rolling in. Moshe said he's not coming?
I don't know.
Huh?
Maybe he doesn't know.
No, he was in the show announcement. Okay, so it says like this. When it says he cannot eat Kedush HaKadoshim, it doesn't mean Kedush HaKadoshim sacrifices. It means they cannot eat things called Kedush, and they cannot eat things called Kachim. It says like this. Leibe Mikri Dich Kedush. The Ksiv, it says, Zar LaYechol Kedush, meaning Truma they cannot eat, and V'Leibe Midi the Ikri Kachim. They cannot eat the Holy of Holies, meaning sacrifices, are also not. In other words, like this, the Gemara thought, when Nehemiah said to them, you cannot eat from Kedush HaKadoshim, he thought that meant, the Gemara thought until now, they cannot eat sacrifices, but they could eat Truma. Okay? So the Gemara said, but that's not, so the Gemara said, but he told them they could eat Truma. How could he tell me they can only eat Rabbinic Truma, not Biblical Truma? He told them you can eat Biblical Truma. So Gemara says, no, that's not what he said. He never said you can't eat sacrifices, but Truma you could eat. When they said you can't eat from Kedush HaKadoshim, what he told them actually was, you can't eat from Truma, which is called Kedush, and you can't eat sacrifices, which are called Kachim. So Kedush Kadoshim doesn't mean sacrifices, it means Truma and sacrifices. So therefore he said they were only allowed to eat Rabbinic Truma, not Biblical Truma. Where do we see that sacrifices are called kachim? Because it says, Obas Kain Kisi Alizon. It says, if a Kain's daughter will marry a non-Kain, he betrumas a kadoshim leisechel. In other words, like this, a girl was a daughter of a Kain, so in her father's house, she ate truma, she ate kabanas, she ate everything. Then the Torah says, what happens when she marries a non-Kain? What happens when she marries a non-Kayin? So the Torah says, she can't eat from the Kachim. She can't eat sacrifices. What does it mean? B'monim min ha-Kachim le-Seichel, which is separated from the Karbonis she can't eat. Hey, what happened today? Nothing, everybody was late today.
And we can't find a party place. There's a party downstairs.
The dog party.
Party's here.
Okay, so he says like this. So you see that Kedush is called Truma, Kachim is called Kavanas. So what Ezra and Nehemiah said to them is, you can't eat from Kedush, from Truma, you can't eat Biblical Truma, and you can't eat sacrifices. So therefore this opinion holds that Biblical Truma they are not allowed to eat in Israel. These questionable Kayanim. The other opinion says, no, Kedush HaKadoshim means Kabanas, and that's it. Okay. So now, the Gemara is going back to the original question. Okay. 25A2. Chafei Amid Aleph. Like 15 lines on the top of the page. Okay. The Gemara's question that we just learned. Can a guy who does Birchas Kayanim, does that prove that he's 100% valid Kayan? Right? That's what we just learned. So Gemara says, Toshma Kamal answer approved what Aloha is. He says, Chazok Lukuhuna, the Braisa says the following. What is the proof that somebody's a Kayan? No, you look, 25A2.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He says like this, all the way to the beginning of the page. Yeah, Chazaka Lukuna, what's the proof that a guy can eat Truma? That he's a Kayin. Nesias Kapayim Bavavo. If he duchen, did Birchas Kayinim in Bavo. Or, he ate Chala in Surya. Okay? So, I'll explain this in a second. The chiluk matanis bekrochem, if he gave out the kohen gifts in the cities, this is a proof that the guy's a kohen. Meaning like this. The Braisa says, if a guy did Birchas Koyanim in Bavel, it's a proof he's a Koyan. If a guy ate Challah in Surya, what Surya was like this, Syria, was not actually part of Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech conquered
Syria.
So there's a whole argument in the Gemara. Is that considered annexation of Syria that it becomes a din of Eretz Yisrael? What's the question? David HaMelech did it granted he was the king, but he did it as an individual. He didn't do it for the nation. So the question is Syria obligated in biblical challah like Eretz Yisrael? Let me explain the din. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah of challah, right? You make challah, you have to separate the dough. You make cake, whatever, you have to separate the dough. In Eretz Yisrael, it's biblical. In Chutz La'aretz, it's rabbinic.
Okay,
even today. In Eretz Yisrael, the separation of challah from dough is biblical. And the separation of challah in the outside of Eretz Yisrael is only rabbinic. So he says like this, by the way, this is a very interesting din. What happens, a woman baked challah for Shabbos, and she forgot to separate challah. And now it's Shabbos. So there's a difference in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, even today. In Eretz Yisrael, where the mitzvah of separating challah today is biblical.
What do you mean by separating challah from the dough?
Yeah.
You make dough first, and then you make it into challah, right?
No. You bake challah. I mean, no. You make dough.
Yeah. Okay.
Normally, when it's still dough, you separate the challah. You separate a piece of challah, not challah that you bake. Challah that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you give it to the kohen.
Okay.
Nowadays, they put it into silver foil and they burn it in the oven.
Okay.
Separately. Okay. Now, in Eretz,
do you think most people do that?
All women that bake challah do it. If you bake enough dough. Now, what happens, now it's Shabbos, what happens, let's go, you bake the challah, it's before Shabbos, and you realize you didn't separate challah yet. Okay, you didn't separate the piece of the dough. So the din is, you put all the challah together in a pan, and you cover it with a towel, and now all the challah from this dough that you made is, you separate the piece of challah. What you do is you ruin one challah, it's not complete anymore because you're taking off a piece and you eat it. Now this applies in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz. What happens if somebody in Chutz La'aretz, so now it's Shabbos. Friday night you sat down at the table and the woman realized she didn't separate challah yet. Now we learned in Shabbos, you're not allowed to fix broken things on Shabbos. Now, therefore, what do you do to separate challah makes the unedible challah edible? So, logically, you can't do it. She's stuck. She doesn't have challah for Shabbos. This challah she cannot eat because it wasn't separated.
You think they all know
in that? In Chutz La'aretz, the mitzvah of challah is rabbinic. So the Chachamim said, because it's only rabbinic, what you could do is eat the challah and leave a piece over at the end. And that's okay. So then let's say here, a woman baked challah, a lot of challah, and she forgot to separate challah, it doesn't matter. You eat the challah on Shabbos and you just leave over a piece. You have to make sure to leave over a piece at the end that you're going to burn with challah. But in Eretz Yisrael, you can't do that. I mean, a similar thing we learned, are you allowed to table dishes on Shabbos? Let's say you have a mikveh in the house. Can you table dishes on Shabbos? One opinion says yes, one opinion says no. What's the argument, basically? So one opinion says putting dishes in the mikveh is a biblical mitzvah. Which means, without putting it in the mikveh, biblically, it's not a vessel. You can't use it. Putting it into the mikveh makes it a vessel. So you're making something on Shabbos, which would be forbidden. If you hold Tfilas Kalim is only a rabbinic concept, that means Minatayr, it's usable. So Minatayr, it's a Kali. Chacham said you have to put it in the mikveh. So then you would be allowed to table the dishes. And same thing with challah. So Gemara is questioning, if a kohen duchens, is this a proof that he's a legitimate kohen? Right? So Gemara brings a proof. It says, one who does nesias kapayim, you have it, chafei amir aleph, midway through the page. Chafei amir aleph. So it says, if somebody does duchenin, birchas kohen in bavel, it's a good enough proof that he's a kohen. If somebody eats challah, if a kohen eats challah, not the challah in the bakery, the challah that you separate, or chilek matanis lebikrachim, or if you give out, the kohen gives out the priestly gifts in the cities that he got, all these things are a proof that the guy's a valid kohen. So the Gemara says, k'tani miyis, nesias kapayim. But the Braisa says, one of the things that validate the guy's being a kohen is nesias kapayim, is duchenin. So my love, does it not mean l'yuchsin, that this makes him in lineage a proper kosher kohen? So this seems to prove our question. The Gemara's question is, if a guy duchens in bovel, is that a good enough proof that he's a real legitimate kohen? Here the Braisa says yes, he's a legitimate kohen because he duchened in bovel. So the Gemara says no. What does it mean he's a kohen only to eat truma, but not to work in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, lay l'truma, it's only that he can eat truma. But he can't work in the Beis HaMikdash because it's not enough of a proof that he's, for yuchsin, he's a valid 100% kohen. For truma he could eat. So the Gemara says, but that can't be. Because in the same braise it says, if a guy eats challah in Surya, Hadum yirachid is challah k'toni, machid is challah liyuchsin, just like, if you eat challah, it's a valid enough proof that he goes, that he's 100% a good kohen. And the Gemara is going to explain this later. Afnasiyas kapayim liyuchsin. In other words, like this. The braise says, if you eat challah, it's a proof you're a kohen. If you duchen, it's a proof you're a kohen. And the Gemara says, makes an established fact, that challah, eating challah, makes you 100% legitimate kohen. So then the siyas kapayim, which is in the same braise, the duchenin, should also make you 100% a valid kohen. No, so the Gemara says no. Lay achilas challah gufa l'truma. Even when it says the guy that eats challah is 100% kohen, it doesn't mean to work in the Beis HaMikdash. It only means for eating challah. Why? No, he says, but the Gemara thought if challah allows you to work in the Beis HaMikdash, so truma, but the Gemara says even challah is only to eat truma.
Right.
Why? Because kasavar challah bizman hazeh rabbanon. Because challah is rabbinic, truma deraisa, and truma is biblical. So therefore he says like this, maskinan mechal drabanan, we elevate the kohen who eats rabbinic challah, we allow him to eat truma. That's the chiddush. Okay, the apechluhu Ravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua Rabbanon, like Ravuna, the son of Yeshua, reversed a braisa later on in the Gemara, that he says challah is rabbinic, truma is biblical. So we say, if a guy eats challah, which is rabbinic, he's allowed to eat biblical truma. So therefore, the same thing with birchas kohanim, nesias kapayim, we only allow him, if he duchens, to eat truma. But as far as for sure being 100% legitimate kohen, we don't have a proof.
Did you already say why all this was a proof that he was a kohen? Did the Gemara already say it before?
No, well, this seems to imply that it is, because he says, if you eat trum a chalor trum or nesias kapayim, it's chazaka l'kohuna.
Yeah, is there a why?
Why? You mean why is it necessarily a proof? The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara says if a guy is established eating trum, we can assume he's 100% kosher kohen. And the Gemara says no, it's not a proof that he's 100% valid kohen. For yuchzin, you're working based on Migdash. It's only for eating truma. Even if truma is biblical. But to work in a base on Migdash is not necessarily enough of a proof. The Gemara Bechlal, I mean, on the last page, the Gemara started this whole thing, by the way, with the Gemara said this whole question, Bechlal. In fact, it says, do you go from Truma to Yuchsin? Then the Gemara asked the question, if a guy, it says in the document he's a Kohen, is that enough of a proof to make a legitimate Kohen? The Gemara answers, one says yes, one said no. The halacha is, it doesn't make you a Kohen. Then it goes from the Sias Kapayim. So then the Gemara answers, there's a Machlekes. Then the guy asks, but what's the halacha? So now the Gemara is trying to bring these proofs, seemingly to prove that he could be considered 100% a Kohen.
Not for
working in the Beis HaMikdash. Another, very simple. A guy gets an aliyah. Let me just think about it. The guy goes up to Duchen today. I mean, you're going to say he's 100% Kohen. We said already, contemporary Poskim write, even if you find a tombstone of somebody's father or grandfather, and it said Kohen,
it's not a proof.
It's not a proof a guy's a Kohen. It's not a proof.
Only Mashiach can tell you that, right?
Okay. Eliyahu Navi, don't bring Mashiach. Eliyahu Navi, it says, going to do it.
But the question is, if you know your ancestors were at Mount Sinai, well, it's basically, you know, if you came from.
But how do you know if they're Kohenim, real Kohenim or not?
Well, some people go way back.
If they have lineage papers that can prove it, yeah. The guys in Bavel, all those guys that married the Gazili, the daughters of the Brazilia Giladi, they told them to find the papers of lineage. They married non-kosher women. They said, you want to be a Kohen? Prove that you're a Kohen. They couldn't find them. So they said, listen, Nehemiah said, what you did in Bavel, you could do here, but that doesn't mean.
3,000 years ago. That means there'd be no Kohenim then.
Halachically today, it says, Apidin, if a guy comes into a shul and says he's a Kohen, you can give him an Ali and you let him do Berchus Kohenim. But a guy in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a guy came to the Beis HaMikdash and said, I'm a Kohen, it didn't mean anything. He'd have to prove, to work in the Beis HaMikdash, he'd have to prove his lineage that he's a Kohen.
So today, no one knows who's Kohenim.
That's Eliyahu Navi. He says it's going to come. Mashiach comes and say who's a Kohen, who's not. Okay, then the Gemara says like this, Toshma. Come, we'll try to find another proof. If you do Birchas Kohenim, if you're good enough to work in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Chazaka Lukuhuna, another Braisa says like this. What is the presumption that somebody's a Kohen? Nesias Kapayim, whether he did Birchas Kohenim, or Chila Geronis Baretz, like we said, he received distribution that they used to give Kohenim, Ubesuria, and in Surya, or B'chol Mokum Sheshluchi Reshchedesh Magim, whenever the messengers of Reshchedesh would reach in that time, okay? I'll explain this in a second. Nesias Kapayim Raya, okay? Now, it's like this. The Gemara says, the Gemara is using a term just to describe the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lo'ez. Let me explain this. We learned already many times, they didn't have calendars. Okay, two witnesses came for the told Bezdin we saw the moon last night. They came in the morning to Bezdin. Bezdin proclaimed the Rosh Chodesh. Right? Now, how did people know that it was a Rosh Chodesh? No texting, no emails, no calls, no nothing. So first, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, they used to have mountains and they used to light fires, torches on the mountain. The next mountain saw it, the next mountain saw it, the next mountain. Okay. Then the troublemakers came and they started lighting fires on the wrong night just to make a mess. So what happened? Bezdin started sending out shluchim. Okay? So the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, all the main places in Eretz Yisrael, the shluchim were able to reach very soon. Therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they only kept one day Sukkot, one day Pesach, one day Shavuos, because by then everybody knew which day of the month was Rosh Chodesh. Those places that the shluchim didn't go to, like in Chutz Lars, there were not a lot of Jews, they didn't go, or it was too far of a distance. So then they kept 2 days. So the Gemara is just using this expression like this. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, a Kohen that received the gifts of a Kohen, or a Kohen did Nesias Kapayim, that was good enough of a proof. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, how does the Gemara say outside of Eretz Yisrael? Those places that the Shluchim didn't get to, that's what the Gemara is calling it, meaning Chutz Laretz, he says, Duchanin was a proof the guy was a Kohen, but the priestly gifts getting was not a proof. Why? Because that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's only rabbinic. And rabbinic, they weren't so particular of, you know, a guy says he's a Kohen, they gave it to him. But if it was biblical, they wouldn't give him the gifts. So Gemara says, this is what the Braisa says like this. Nesias kapayim v'chila gronos b'Eretz Yisrael, duchanin, or giving out these portions of the Kohen portions in Eretz Yisrael was a proof. B'Suria, or b'chol makom sheshluchei reish chodesh magiyim, or any place where it says, Nesias kapayim raya. Okay, but, Loi chiluk gronis. Why? Because, like we said, there was only rabbinic. And because it was rabbinic, there wasn't such a proof. And it says, Bavel is Kasuria. Bavel's like Syria. Okay, Syria. Which means, the Braisa says clearly, according to this opinion, that Nesias Kapayim, Birchas Koyanim, in Syria and in Bavel, is a proof a guy was a Koyan. Okay. Then it says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Leimer, Af Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. Even Alexandria of Egypt was also treated like Surya. Mimnei Shebezdin Kvuyim Sham, because there were established courts. And therefore, Alexandria of Egypt was also, in other words, he brings down over here from the Gemara and Sukkah. After the destruction of the first base of Migdosh, a lot of Jews left Israel and went to Alexandria, Egypt. And they had full-fledged Batidinim there, their Bezdins there. And they, in fact, that's the famous, the Gemara says, and we learn a lot of practical contemporary halacha from this. The Gemara says, the shul in Alexandria, Egypt, was so big, they couldn't hear the chazan.
Wow. That's where these old flags or something?
Not because they were talking, because it was... So the Gemara says there are guys standing in the middle of the shul with flags. There was a, let's say, green flag to answer Amen, red flag to Kedusha, whatever it was, because it was so big. But there are a lot of Jews. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says they made Alexandria of Egypt like Syria, that it's rabbinic gifts.
And the Egyptians let them in there?
Yeah. Some of the Jews' best friends were Egyptians. So, by the way, that you learn from that mission or that Gemara, you can learn out of halacha that if you hear an over a telephone or loud, you know, a hookup, if you hear Kedusha, Amen, you're allowed to answer because they're saying it at the same time. Some people disagree with that, but that's the way we definitely hold, and a lot of people hold like that. That you can answer.
You can.
You could. You're not Yaitza though. You're not Yaitza Kriya Sateira, you're not Yaitza, but you can answer based on the base medrash of Alexandria. Okay, so now it says like this. So the Gemara says, my love, lo yuchsin. Doesn't it mean? What does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, what's a chazaka of kuhuna? Nesias kapayim. Right? So it should mean that they can, you'd be a full-fledged kohen. So Gemara says, no, l'chala. It's only good for chala. Not even for truma. I'm saying, truma also. But it's only good for them to eat chala. It's not good enough for them to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, hadom yedechila gronus k'tani. But 1 minute. In the same braisa it says, giving out gifts, ma chila gronus liyuchsin. So it says, again, the Gemara uses the same logic as before. The Gemara thinks that getting gifts of a Kohen allows you to work in the Beis HaMikdash. And if the Nesias Kapayim is all that the same price, it would mean the same thing. So the Gemara says, Machila Grons Liyuchsin, then the Nesias Kapayim should be Yuchsin. So he says, no. Why? Because Chila Gron is Gufa Lechala. Even this, what the Braisa says, if you got gifts, you're a Kohen, It doesn't mean to work in the Beis HaMikdash. It means to eat challah. Why? Because he says like this. Kasavar truma bizmanazed rabbanan. Truma nowadays is rabbinic. So if they gave out a gift of truma, you ate it. So the chiddush is the challah deiraisa, and eating challah is biblical. I mean, being able to eat the mitzvah of challah is biblical. Umaskinan mitruma drabanan l'challah deiraisa. So the Gemara says again, the braisa is only proving that it doesn't make you a kohen to work in the Beis HaMikdash. It only makes you a kohen to eat challah, it makes you a kohen to eat truma, and that's it. And the chiddush is that even though truma nowadays is rabbinic and challah is biblical, so the chazakah of eating truma, which was rabbinic, is good enough to eat challah, which is even biblical. But it's not good enough to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So right now, we still have no proof of what the halacha is, so to speak. Can you eat, a guy that duchens, can he work in the Beis HaMikdash? Before, the Gemara said there was an argument, but bottom line, halacha, we still don't know. And the Gemara says like this. Okay, the Ash, Kichon Ravun, the Beri Dev Yeshua, the Rabbanon, like it says, Ravun, the Beri Yeshua found the rabbis. He said like this. Amar Ravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Ravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua said, Ashkechin lo rabbonim b'veirab. I saw the rabbis in the yeshiva, the yasev, a comment. He said the following statement. Afilo lamando amar. Truma bizman azed rabbonon. Even according to the opinion that says, Trum is only rabbinic. Okay? Or, Chale is deraisa, but chale is still biblical. Okay, it means like this. And this is another interesting thing, the Kedusha Shaita, Kedusha Lasad Lavi. Meaning like this. When the Jews went up, and this is again at the time of Ezra, when he went up to build the second Beis HaMikdash, they re-sanctified Eretz Yisrael. But the question is, did that last after the second temple was destroyed also? There's a big argument in the Gemara if the Kedusha that Ezra re-Kedushed, so to speak, Eretz Yisrael's Kedusha, was that permanent or was only for the duration of the second Beis HaMikdash, and once the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans, it's done. Okay? So some people say Truma today, even in Israel, is rabbinic. Because the land's not holy anymore. Okay? So he said, the rabbis in the yeshiva said the following statement, that even according to the opinion, that says Truma is only rabbinic, because the Kedush of Ezra only lasted until the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, Challah is biblical. Why? She says, "Shere sheva shekivshu, v'sheva shechilku nischayvu b'chala v'lei nischayvu b'truma." And they set a proof to it. There's a din like this: when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua ben Nun, they conquered the land in 7 years, and they divided the land for 7 years. So the question was: the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, were the chayv and truma? The din is they were not. They were not chayiv and bikurim. But the mitzvah of challah, they were obligated to do. And it says because the psukim use different terms. Okay? Because the mitzvah of challah says, v'vayachem ala oretz. By truman, the other thing the Torah says, you come into the land and you'll inherit the land. By challah, the Torah says, when you come into the land, you have to separate challah. It's different expression in the pasuk than by truma and all the other bikurim, okay? But the mashu by bikurim, v'yishavta, v'yishta, v'yishavta bo. So by bikurim, Rashi says this in Chumash. By bikurim, they were only obligated to bring bikurim, and the same thing truma, only after 14 years. Chala, they were obligated before. Now, when did the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael really become kedusha? After 14 years. The first 14 years, it was fighting, it was battles, it was dividing. So you see like this. This is what these rabbis said. He's going to reverse it. But he's saying, I was in the yeshiva, and this is what they're saying. That even according to the opinion that says Truman nowadays is rabbinic, but Chal is biblical. Why? Because Truma is dependent on the Kedusha of the land. And therefore, Bizman Azeh, where the Kedusha of Ezra stopped when the second base of Mikdash was destroyed, Truma, which is dependent on the Kedusha of the land, is rabbinic. But Chal, which is not connected to the biblical, to the Kedusha of the land. The Torah says, you go into the land, you separate Chal, so Chal is biblical. This is what the rabbis of the yeshiva said. So he said, Vamin Olu Anos. So I said to them, you guys don't know what you're talking about, Adraba. On the contrary. Afilu Lamandi Omer Truma Bizman Azeh Deraisa. He said the opposite. That even according to the opinion that says Truma is biblical nowadays, Chal Drabonin. But Chal is still rabbinic. Mamish the opposite. Oh, they were saying, even though Truma is Midrabonin, Chal is biblical. He says, no, I told them, even Chal, which is Truma, if it's biblical, Chal is still rabbinic. Why? And he quoted a pasuk. I mean, a brayz. The Tanya, because it says in the brayz like this, B'vayach ha-malo oretz, it says about Chal, when you come into the land. Yeah? So it says, Iyul b'vayachem, yachum eshenichzim lo shnayim ushleishim eraglim. I would think, even two or three spies came, meaning even a few Jews came into the land. Talmud Leimer Bevayachem. In other words, like this. By Chala, the Torah says, Bevayachem Elo Oretz. When you, plural, come into the land. So Gemara says, what that means is, when all the Jews are in the land, not a few Jews. He says, Bias Kulchem Amarti. Only when you all come into the land, but like B.S. Miksasim, and not when some of you come into the land. Therefore, the Chi Askino Ezra, when Ezra went up back to Eretz Yisrael, Lav Kula Solik, most people stayed in Bavel. Like Rashi brings down over here, only 40,000 Jews went back with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael. The majority of the Jewish people stayed in Bavel. So he said to them, what are you guys talking about? Chal for sure is rabbinic. Because the only time the Torah says Chal is biblical, B'vayachem alo oris means when you all come in, you don't need the Kedusha, you don't need the conquering, you don't need the division, but you B'vayachem means when all the Jews are in Israel. So the first 14 years, all the Jews were in Israel. So they had to separate Chal. Truma not, but Chal, yes.
But when they in Israel, I thought they stayed in Babel.
No, I'm saying when 14 years when Yeshua conquered the land.
Oh, Yeshua.
Yeshua conquered the land the first 14 years. So all the Jews were in Israel. So in other words, Truma is dependent on the Kedusha of the land. Chal, their proof was that the 14 years are obligated in Chal. He said, why were they obligated in Chal? Because all the Jews were there. But when Ezra went up, majority of the Jews stayed in Bavel, so therefore it's not enough of a proof. I mean, therefore Chal is rabbinic, and that's the halacha. By the way, the Chal nowadays is rabbinic.
But what if it's rabbinic? You mentioned that in Israel it's biblical, and not all Jews are.
No.
That's the afraid.
First opinion says Chal is biblical. Second opinion says no, Adrabba, Chal is only rabbinic. I'll say that. No, even in Eretz Yisrael, he says it's rabbinic.
Is it? That's the
dialogue. No, I'm saying the halach is out of Eretz Yisrael, it's rabbinic. In Eretz Yisrael, the halach is biblical.
It's biblical.
Yeah.
It's biblical even though not all Jews are in Israel.
Right.
Why? Why is it?
Because the halach is not like that opinion.
Okay, that all have to be
there. Right.
Israel had the Kedusha the first 14 years?
No, it didn't. It didn't.
Even though there was no Beit HaMikdash?
They didn't. They had the Mishkan there, but he didn't sanctify the land. Yeshua only sanctified Eretz Yisrael after the 14 years of 7 years capturing, 7 years conquering and dividing.
But they sanctified
what? Huh?
But they sanctified.
what was the process? I don't know exactly what they did, but they did some type of kedusha process. Today, by the way, they don't do it a lot of places, but in the proper Jewish cemeteries, they're makdish. They actually sanctify the cemetery. It's the whole process. You go around seven times. The whole way in halacha that says how to do it. But that's what they did. Okay, we'll leave it in. That's a whole night, Megillah.